Blog Talk Radio.
We're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God, in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Stream live TV from 85 plus top channels with a link.
Come on in the room. Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was Mr. Jarrell and Company traveling this morning. And the first one is You Are My Hiding Place. Oh, I love that one too. It's a beautiful song. Yeah. Full of life. Full of spirit, the spirit of God. So we're grateful this morning for another Friday morning. And we thank God for bringing us back, clothing our right minds, the use and activities of our limbs. We have life, health, and strength today. There's nothing we can't get done, because with God, all things are possible. And so we thank him this morning. And I want to say this. I got the T-shirt money back yesterday. Hallelujah. Ooh, prayer will fix it every time. And when we let go and let God, he'll come right in and fix it. But we have to completely let it go. And I was sitting at the table yesterday afternoon. And I said, Lord, I let this go. I give it to you. And I walk away. Nothing I can do with it. I give it to you. And I went on, still sitting at the table. A little bit later, I hear the Cash App go off. And it's the person I sent the money to. They sent me the $32 back first. Then the next one, they sent the $45 back. But they said I wouldn't get the $45 until Tuesday, which is fine with me. Because I had already gone in and ordered some blank T-shirts to replace the ones that he, you know, the money was taken from. And so I'm working with the people on the patch to go on the shirt that you can iron your own patch on, or, you know, where you want your patch on your shirt. Yeah. And so I thank God for that. I know what prayer will do. I know what prayer will do. We just have to trust God and leave it alone. Yeah, let it go. Men are suffering. Men are going through because they won't let go. They still continue to try to take care of God's business. He's the only one. He's the only one who can fix the unfixable. So we thank him. And so I had text Sister Jerry and different ones. I got the money back. I got the money back. And so Jerry said, well, yeah, now, Barbara, you can have more shirts. So now I can, because what I did is the money I spent on the blank shirt and the patches, I took that money back out of the money that he's refunded. And so what I figured I would do, I could add two or three more shirts to it and give two or three shirts away for free. Yeah. And so I thank God this morning. He's working it out for our good. Talked to Sister Simone last night. She got the money. Yeah, she got the money we raised, got both cards, got a plant from Jesus in the morning, and she was just happy and excited. And I asked her a couple of questions because she's still somewhat down, you know. And then she was telling me, she said, well, I wish I knew somewhere to go, this and that. So I reminded her of a friend that she had. And I said, well, contact them and talk to them. She said, you think so? I said, yeah. Well, I kind of shut them out because, well, they understand you were going through. They're your friend. Yeah, call them and talk to them. It's no harm in that. And it's going to be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning for all he has done for us, great and mighty things. But, you know, I'm understanding some things, because I hear people talk, and a lot of times I don't say anything back because I'm hearing it's not the same gospel that Jesus preached. It's another gospel that man has preached. It's another Bible that man has interpreted, and people are going with the interpretation all the way around. The message of man, the Bible of man, they're not preaching the same gospel that Jesus preached. Yeah, they're not interpreting the word of God the way that God is intending for us to live it daily. So I was thinking on that thing, you know, and praying a little bit, because many are messed up today. So many people messed up in the church. So much leadership in the church saying they the body of Christ, but they are messed up. And they're leading other people to be messed up. And some people feel like this, I don't have to do it that way. I'm doing it this way. This way God talking about, because it's a better way. Well, now he came in and he saw our problem. He saw the Ten Commandments was just a bit much for us to bear. Because we grumbled and complained about that as Israel, especially out in the wilderness, asking. So what happened is God did this for us. He took the ten and broke them down into two. And if we do those two commandments, we've done the ten. If we pray and ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and believe by faith and trust God, you will get a lot more from him. But we're so dependent on man. We want everything from man because we can see man, we can feel man, we can touch him, we can smell him. And when I say man, I mean the generic term, man and woman. And this, we don't want to live by faith. We want to live by sight. But the word of God says, and the just shall live by faith. Yeah, we walk by faith and not by sight. Many times we're going, we don't know where we're going. We're following the lead of the Holy Spirit. We're following the lead of Almighty God. Yeah, many days. But in order for us to know this, we have to seek him with our whole heart. We have to bow down to him in humbleness, asking for these things. We have not because we ask not. So a lot of people are messed up, and they're trying to please God in the flesh. You cannot please him in the flesh. He is a spirit, and we have to please him spiritually. Because the flesh and the spirit is always at war, carnal and spiritual. It's always at war because your flesh want to be pleased. I look at some of my God children and I see the way that they speak. Well, my spiritual children, I see the way that they interpret scriptures and I see the way that they talk. And I'm saying to myself, where have you been? Who has bamboozled you? What happened? Because listen, this is the scripture. This is not Barbara's word. This is the word of God. You cannot hold it against me. I was not there when God inspired man to write it. But I do believe it. Galatians 1 and 9 says this. Chapter 1 and verse 9 of Galatians. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Did you hear that? They adding to it. They taking away from it. They flipping it. They put this word in it. Stick with what's in the word of God. Don't change stuff. Come at you giving understanding. It's foolishness. Some words I see don't even mean the same thing that the scripture is talking about. Galatians 1, chapter 8 says this, but though we are any angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Do you hear that? Some people, they're not afraid of God. It kind of tickled me a little bit. Because who's bigger than him? We're talking about Jehovah, Almighty God that have all the power. There's no higher power. And his name is not Jehovah because of the Jehovah Witnesses. 1 Corinthians 9 and 18 says, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in God. I'm going to bring this word the way that Almighty God has given it unto me. I'm going to make my calling and election sure scriptures he has given to me to give to his people. That's why many people can't come out in ministry. Man has messed them up. Man's got them waiting on him and not God. And that's foolishness. I'd rather obey God than man. Have you heard of that scripture before? Do you remember this? The light shined in darkness and darkness comprehended it not. I don't care how long they say they've been saved. I don't care how long they say they, I know God. He's in me and I'm in him. Constantly messing people up because they can't give up to God. They cannot give that flesh up, their natural. They cannot give that up and become a spiritual person. It don't mean you're perfect. It does not mean you're better than nobody else. It does not mean you're not going to feel, taste, see, touch. It does not mean you're not going to be able to be physically and naturally educated. It does not mean any. It don't mean that you won't learn from the world. You can't learn from the university. It does not mean this. But what it does mean is you totally dependent on God for everything. Why is that, Barbara? Without him, you can do nothing. Oh, I know you think you got your own being. I know you think you have control of your hands and your feet and your eyes, what you think. And no, sir, and no, ma'am. Without him, I promise you today, you are doing nothing. All that you're doing and get done is because of him. His eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. And see, people are not preparing for his return. They're preparing for whatever they think they want in this life. I'm talking about those that say they're believers. It appears they've forgotten about after this life, there's another life. It appears they have forgotten that God sent his son to prepare a place for us, the saints of God, the believers, that where he is, we may be also one day. Yeah. See, we're not lost on this. We're not like those 10 virgins, well, five of the 10 over Matthew. We're not like that. We're not waiting until the last hour when our oil has gotten low and burned out. We don't know the day nor the hour he will return for us. So we prep daily. Every day we're doing something more so that we can be ready. I may have gone out because of the wedding I'm going to. I may have gone out and found the perfect dress with the perfect headpiece. Tomorrow I go out and look for the earrings. The next day I look for a necklace. The next day I may look for a bracelet because I'm dressing. It's a special affair. It's a big to-do. I'm going to be dressed to the nines. I'm going to dress like I've never almost dressed before, unless I've been to a wedding before. The next day, I may go and get the proper stockings, the pantyhose. The next day, I may get the proper undergarments, you know, the bra, the slip, the panties, the girdles, whatever we wear. Then I may go out and get the right shoes. And it may take a while for the shoes to come because I had them special made to match the dress or the gown that I'm wearing. While all of this is taking place, I'm looking in a magazine to see what type of hairstyle would match this type of dress and headpiece. Daily, I'm doing something. And because I'm going in with the bridegroom, I may go and taste some cake. I may go and taste some samples of hors d'oeuvres or food or whatever. But daily, I'm preparing for this wedding. Because on a certain date, it will end. All the preparation for the wedding will end. And there's no more time to prepare. So today, this is why we're preparing for his return daily. Because when that great and notable day comes, it will be the ending of preparing. He's already come. The songwriter said he was coming on a cloud and every eye should see him. And the songwriter also said, and I want to be like him when he returns. Yeah. I want to look just like him. I want to walk just like him. I want to have in me what he had in him. Oh, yeah. So we're preparing daily. And we're not bamboozled or swindled by these people. I see so many following the crowd. And see, that's that crowded road. And many there be. But on that straight and narrow that's leading to God, it's a few. And every now and then you're past one. Every now and then, it's not a crowded road. Because not everyone likes the truth. Not everyone is able to sell out to God their whole heart and allow their flesh to die so that the Spirit of God can live in them and so that the Spirit of God can move through them to be a blessing. They don't remember that the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And if he saved me, then he called me to some type of work unto him. It's easy to forget things, and it's easy to listen to many times things that will help us to keep walking according to our flesh. It's easy. Yeah. Because I don't have to put up no fight. You know, I don't have to fight the good fight of faith. I don't have to put on the whole armor of God that I can stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't have to quote scripture, you know. I don't have to pray, rebuke, bind. I don't have to do anything. Because this preacher over here teaching me, God going to do it all. I beg you the difference. Yeah, we got some work cut out for us. The scripture even says, resist the devil and he will flee. And a lot of times we think it's the devil, but it's us. It's your flesh. And we're accusing the devil. He's sitting back laughing. Look at the liars. And appoint you to God. God, didn't you tell Barbara not to lie? A liar won't tell. Well, she lying on me right now. Yeah, he'll tell on us. Go to Revelations and take a look. He's always wanting to tell on you. So we, when it comes to the interpretation of the word, the understanding of the word of God, he said you needed a preacher. And how can he preach unless he's been sent? But then God holds the believer accountable too. So we have to pray. If any man lack wisdom, look at James chapter 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraideth not. See, we have a part in this. You can't just blame it all on the preacher. You got to get up and study and pray and study. Asking God for understanding, asking him for knowledge and wisdom. Because once you get the word, you got to know how to use it. You got to know when to use it, where to use it. It's a lot involved. But we want the preacher to do everything and take his word and run because we don't want to do anything. That's why many mornings you don't hear me give where the scriptures are. Go look. Go taste and see for yourself. The word of God is even good, hallelujah, and good for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're grateful this morning unto him, and we thank him for all he has done, even this day, what he's doing right now and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things for us. He's already done some great stuff this morning for us. We close in our right mind. Could you imagine not knowing who you are or where you are? Could you imagine being locked up in an institution? You don't even know who you are. You don't know if to come or go. You're on some types of medication, you druggy, grousy, groggy, huh? But look what he did for you. Woke you up. And you can tell yourself what you want to do. Dial in to Jesus in the morning. Give God the first fruit of your day. Pray first. Read your daily scripture for yourself that you have personally, which I call morning devotion. Your personal morning devotion unto God gives him the first fruit of your day. And then you'll move on. You may catch another something, prayer line or whatever, and then you come to Jesus in the morning. Why? Woke up clothed in your right mind. Realizing he is worthy. Because of him, we have all of this good stuff, our being. I'm living this morning because of him. If he take the breath from my body, I can't breathe on my own. He's keeping me breathing. And this is why, you know, I don't understand how people can play these games. There's a true and living God that have all power, that so loved us all, even the world, the whole world, good, bad, and ugly, that he sent his only begotten son, his offspring, only offspring, that whosoever would believe on him won't perish but have everlasting life. He suffered for us. He bled, he hung, he died, conquered all, rose with all power. Death couldn't hold him. He went through a lot, but he said he overcame those things, and we would too. Because we're going to be persecuted, prosecuted, all kind of stuff, but we yet got to stand on the word of God and let the Spirit of God move in us. It will lead and guide us in the right path, the right way to go. It'll give us the right words to say at the right time. Look at that yesterday. Prayed the prayer. Lord, I give it to you. I let it go. And I meant it. I mean what I said. And in just a little while, I heard the Cash App go off. Money refunded. Talked to Simon. Got the gift. Got the plant. Got the money. Got the other card. Nobody can tell me what God won't do. And see, I don't make him a subconscious thing. I make him conscious. He's the God of my life. He's the Lord of my life. I realize even his name is a place where the righteous can run in and be saved. Anybody ever called on the name of Jesus and meant it because you needed saving, right? Jesus. The car might have been getting out of control. You may have been going through the traffic light and trying to stop not to run the light because cars coming. They don't wait a second time that light turned green. They out there. You say, Jesus. And the car just come to a nice stop. I mean, it was going. Ever had pain in your body? That thing hurt. And you say, Jesus. His name is a name. It's a name that the righteous can run in and be saved. But we don't. We take all of this for granted, like we are owed this stuff. We don't give God our all. We don't make him the God of our lives. Who is man that God is even mindful of you? Who are you? What you deserve? Death? Oh, but grace, mercy, most of all, his love. Is why we're thriving and surviving today in him. Hallelujah. We can't be concerned about the world. I got to be concerned about that other life I'm trying to get to one day. And it's not by works, because the works won't save us. His grace and mercy, most of all, again, his love is what saved us. But I want to be obedient. I want to obey the call, the chose that he gave to me. He chose me to do some things. And I want to be obedient, as they say, to the letter. Every T crossed, every I dotted. When he returned, I've been preparing every day. I'm ready. See, when he come, I got my headpiece and maybe a hat, a veil or whatever. I got my dress, my shoes, my jewelry. Everything is in place. My hair, everything is ready. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. I don't have to say, can you wait a minute? I need to get my shoes. It's too late. He's given me enough time to prepare. Hold on a minute. I left my bracelet on the dresser. I've given you plenty of time to get fully dressed. Every day, everything should have been being laid out a couple of days before that day. So you miss absolutely nothing. That's how I pack the travel. I start a week in advance. And I start putting everything in my suitcases. Yeah, so I don't forget anything because I'm going to need everything that I need to take to survive on this trip. Personal hygiene items, clothes, shoes. Yeah, all of this I'm going to need. Hair items, hair products. I'm going to need all of this on this trip. Even if I'm gone overnight or if I'm gone for 2 days, I need these things. So I start early preparing. And because I prepare, I don't forget anything. My trip is a success. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning. I believe our guest is in this morning, Dr. Pauline Dillard. And we'll go. Dr. Dillard, I'm going to bring you in right now, but I want to play a request for you this morning. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed. I cannot complain today. So listen, I want to play a request, a song for you this morning. And after this song, when we come back, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. And whatever you have to share with us today, we're going to allow you to share. And I looked at the website again this morning, and I was thinking, I'm single. Maybe I should go down and see Dr. Dillard. Talk to her for a few minutes. That would give me a trip. So listen, I want to play this one for you. And
okay.
When we come back.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, the floor is yours. Let's go to this one. I'm dedicating this one to Dr. Pauline Dillard this morning.
Earth to God. Come in, God, I know you're there, hearing our prayers wherever you are. We need you now to send your love down. Take away the pain in your holy name, we ask this now. We need your light, we need we're holding on, but not for long. Can you pull us all close to the Holy Ghost and keep us strong? God, come in, God.
More than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, Dr. Gillett, we turn the floor over to you.
Oh, gosh. You know, a lot of stuff is running through my mind listening to what you were talking about earlier about just really having our trust in God and not in man. And Isaiah 2:22 is a verse that I've had to go to quite a bit, and it says, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath, and what good are they? And I didn't give my life to Christ until I was 23 years old. And so as an adult, I came into it. And wow, you know, getting over looking to man takes time. I mean, it's just like you were saying earlier, just really getting in the Word was so, so important. And yet along the journey, even when we know it, we can sometimes get fooled. And I just thought, well, I'm just going to kind of share a story from my journey, because I've been in the Lord for almost 40 years now. And gosh, my husband and I started to go to a church, and I'm going to say I use the term loosely, and it was in California. And people might not realize, and Barbara, you probably know this, there's churches out there in the name of Jesus that are actually like Christian cults. And I don't know if you've come across some of that, but we did run into what I would call a Christian cult. And you don't know it. And I mean, I'm just going to be really, really honest here and kind of open about it. But what I think happens as far as also getting fooled by that type of stuff is pride. You know, there's just such a pride of wanting to be sold out for God, not the wanting to be sold out for God, but that somehow you're looking for being that better Christian, for lack of a better way to say it, or somehow the more, you know, the elite Christian in a way. And so this man actually appealed to people who were really actually intellectual. Because you think, well, I'm a smart person. I'm not going to get fooled. But wow, he just really went after the intellectuals. And what you were saying is so profound. It reminded me of that, how just spouting the word and spouting the word and spouting the word. But the way he did it was spouting so much at one time that you almost couldn't keep up with it. You know, like, is this really the word of God? And trying to check out every single thing that was being said. And I realized retrospectively that Satan knows the word of God better than I do. And this man knew, like probably memorized the whole entire Bible, if you will, or he could just draw on anything and then twist it and twist it and twist it. So when you were saying, get in your word, know your own word, so key, because I noticed after I left, that's what I did. I just sat with the word for a very long time, going over all of these things that he said were scriptural. And really digging into what did the Word of God actually say? And then was the people in this actually doing what the Word said? Because it's not enough to just know the Word. We have to be doers of the Word, too. You have to know the Word first, because doing doesn't get you to heaven. But once you know it, doing it. It was fascinating to see how, you know, like when Jesus was up on the mountain after 40 days in the desert with Satan, and Satan was trying to tell him, you know, just throw yourself off the mountain. God will catch you. Well, if you look at it, it's like he takes the word of God, and it's right, it's right, it's right, it's right, and then bam, there's a twist right at the end. So if you don't go in and read your own word, you miss that there's this twist, because it all sounds so good. So it all sounded so good, but once we really got to digging in there, I realized that what gets us trapped by wanting man to also help us is our own pride. You know, the pride of man, pride of the heart, and not just releasing ourselves to what does God want to do with us. It's a problem out there. I see it all the time. Like you were talking about somebody that you know that, you're like, what are you listening to? What are you, believing at this moment. But I think people get really super intimidated by the Word of God, you know, and it's a big book, little print in a lot of them. And I just really encourage people, get a version that makes sense to you when you're first starting. Get something that you can read, that you can relate to, because I'm from the school of, if it helps somebody draw close to the heart of Jesus, I don't really care what version it is, unless it's one that's clearly not really following the word or interpreted from the word. And they can graduate up, I guess, to something else. I don't know. I mean, that's such a big problem, I guess, if you will, that people just listen to what the pastor says, and then how do you discern if it's right if you don't know the word? I spend time in the word a lot, and it was funny because I was just telling somebody yesterday, the older I get, like going into ministry, doing all that kind of stuff, of course you have to read other materials, you have to know what you're doing, and as you said, you know, I've got an education. But if you don't overlay that with the word of God and what God wants you to do, your education doesn't really amount to a whole lot. I always tell people, if God's not the center of what I'm doing, my degrees end up just being nice, pretty pieces of paper hanging on the wall. Although I don't despise my education, because that can happen too. I think there's a lot we can learn that God has allowed us to know. So, gosh, I don't even know where to go at the moment. I mean, what are you kind of thinking at this point about where we're headed with all this?
Well, I tell you, I agree with you 100%. If you just go in and get a natural education and you don't allow God to be the God of your life and allow him to lead and guide you in getting your education, then it may turn out that you're an educated fool.
Because
if you don't realize God is your resources, well, he's not your resources, he's your sources for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe God have a problem with man or woman getting an education. But he must be the God of your life. You must have wisdom. And mm-hmm. wisdom is a principal thing, the word says. So we are always praying, asking God for wisdom, lead and guide us, teach me, show me how, mm-hmm. show me when and where. Because if not, we have all of this natural education and we just keep getting more and more and we're not paying attention to the real education that we really should have, which is the word of God, how the spirit of God moves. Why God come in the first place? Why were we made? There are a lot of things people don't even know. I can remember Dr. Dillard when I was young. I was a young woman married.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I told my husband, I said, because I had saw this, I think, on Oprah. And I told him, I said, you know, I need to go take a trip. Then he kind of looked at me, you know, I guess he was thinking without us. I was like, I need to go by myself because I need to find myself. He said, okay, go find yourself. I never did leave to go find me. I did not find myself until I accepted Jesus, the Son of the true and living God, as my Lord and Savior. Because prior to that, I had no clue while I was on the earth. They talked about an American dream. But many things I could not accomplish that would have produced this American dream that they talked about. There were other things, you know, you leave home, you go to a school, kindergarten, elementary, junior high school, college, mm-hmm. graduate, and it starts all over with you. You get a job, you have children, you buy a house. You buy a car, open a business, or whatever you do. And that just was not the norm for me. That's not the way my life went. And to be honest with you, I thought it would go a different way. I wanted to be a scientist. That was my heart's desire as a child, even in elementary school, junior high school. By the time I got to high school, all of that changed. I didn't attend college until I was in my 50s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I graduated from the university in 2010. Yeah, that haven't been that many years ago. What, 11 years ago?
Right.
So my life didn't go the way that man showed that it should go and what it would produce. I went through many different things to bring me into a place where I am today with Almighty God so that I could obey him at any cost. If it costs my life, I can mm-hmm. yet obey God because he taught me. I didn't just depend on my pastor, the preacher, or what I read, you know, in a book or about this people,
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
this preacher. I didn't follow the norm, you know, what the crowd, old T.D. Jakes, old Joyce Myers, old Cleveland, I did not follow these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like this, you got to go to God to get yours. And why not cut the middleman out and just let the son, who is the mediator, let him go to God for me. And then God is going to give back to me what I need. And that's the way I see it. And then I learned. I didn't have to go find myself. I learned that God made me for his pleasure. I owe him everything.
You know, you're bringing a couple of things to my mind. I do have my degree is in Christian clinical psychology. Now, like you said, you wanted to be a scientist. Actually, when I started college, I was going to go to dental school, of all things. And I started, you know, just really feeling a turning towards the psychology. But over the years as a Christian, because I did get my bachelor's degree when I was, you know, like 22, and then I didn't get my graduate degree like you until after I was an adult, you know. So I was actually in my 40s when I finished graduate school. So the point of that was during that time, people in the church would try to tell me that my psychology degree was a waste. Do you know what I mean? Like God didn't care about that. It was all voodoo and Hindu, you know, like weirdness. So I will tell you that it can go down a bunny trail. You know, your education, like you were saying, if we're not really locked into God, if you go to a secular school for something like a doctorate in psychology, you're going to go down this rabbit trail that's going to take you into all kinds of weird, almost mystical, magical, you know, other gods, new ages, and that kind of stuff really can come out of it. So through prayer, it's just, it was burning in me the whole time, though, that this is what God wants me to study. How could it be wrong if it's done with him at the core? You know, if he's leading it, and if I'm pursuing him in it, then I don't see how it can be wrong. So I did pursue very much going through a Christian education. Not, you know, my degree has got all the same elements to it you would find from anybody who's licensed or whatever, but it had the overlay of how does it line up with Scripture? What is God knowing? And you got to walk away going, I only know what God allows me to know, to be honest. I only know about the mind and how it works based on what God allows us to know about the mind. And if I don't keep that overlaid with the Scripture, it gets very strange. And so, you know, I would go to a Christian Counselor's Fellowship here, and it's really interesting to me how many people, who, as Christians, as counselors, have made the laws and the rules of man more important than what God would have them to do as they're, you know, in church, going to church. And part of it is because they're looking for, you know, when I look at, like, I think there's some value in licensure, but I happen to be in a state where it's not required, so that's a good thing to me, because I have Christian friends walking in fear of man who are like, oh, if I do that, I'm going to get hit by the ethics board. If I do this, the state's going to come after my license and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like going, wow, you know, what does God want me doing in that? And so I've had a lot of clients come to me that have said, yeah, I went to so-and-so. Some of them I know, some I don't. And they're like, they didn't talk about any of this scriptural stuff. They didn't make, you know, yeah, they might pray at the beginning of the session or pray at the end of the session, but they, during the course of it, weren't focusing on just how does God want this to apply to this person, or, you know, the Holy Spirit telling them what to say and things like that. And it's amazing to me how many people as Christians let the rules of man be more important than what God would have them do. And it's sad to me, to be honest. But, you know, I feel very sad sometimes when I talk to them. And then when I hook up with another person who's just very sold out for God in their practices, it's awesome. It's amazing. You know, we bring the elements of our education in, but it's all tempered and led by the scriptures, you know, and I don't want to do anything that's not going to be what God would have me to do for somebody. And it doesn't mean I get it right all the time. You know that. I mean, we're human beings too, and so sometimes our own stuff can get in the way, and then I have to take that step back and, you know, really sit with the Lord about what am I supposed to be doing for the person that I'm going to be talking to and helping, and how fast can I go with them? How fast can I push? How much do I have to back off? You know, that kind of thing. And a lot of times, like you said, I'm working with people just trying to get them to engage the Word of God for their own lives. And once that starts to roll, it's amazing how quickly they can move into their healing. Yeah, so it's the key. I mean, I believe in the Holy Spirit and the fullness of God and, you know, the gifts and all of that. And I operate out of those as well. But if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know if you're on the right pathway with this Holy Spirit or something else kind of got snuck in there, because you don't know if what you're hearing and being told is actually from God or not. And I've seen some people that I kind of jokingly call them hyper-charismaniacs who go way off, and they're like, now that I'm hearing from God, I don't need the Word anymore. I don't need the written Word. We always need the written Word, because how do I know if what I'm hearing over here in the Spirit is really from God if I don't know how God operates according to His Word? Mm-hmm. It may not, you know, I may not get a word that says, oh, the Bible says Pauline Dillard should be a doctor of Christian clinical psychology. It doesn't say that, but it is the calling in line with the character of God, what He has us do with my character. Does it all seem to fit with what I know about the Word? And if it doesn't, I gotta run, you know, in the other direction. Because I've talked with people where I'm going, you don't even know you slipped off track because you've lost sight of the written Word. Anyway, I don't know if you get that frustration, but I get it. I get very frustrated with that.
Yeah, this is what happens with me many times, Dr. Dillard. Prayer is what helped me. I've learned to lean more on God than myself, because a lot of things you hear, a lot of things you see, it is disturbing. It is. Some days it will make you cry. Some days, it saddens your heart because you know better. And if you say something to these people, sometimes they get offended, or you know, they think you off your rock, or whatever the case may be. But this is what I've learned. I've learned to pray for them and ask God to show them, because of this. I'm not talking about just people in the world. I'm talking about those that say they're believers. They've been to the altar and said, I do to Him. What happened is, it comes back to this: if my people, which are called by my name, this is key things, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, not only will He forgive the sins, He'll hear from heaven, forgive the sins and heal the land, but He will forgive your individual sins, and heal your personal land. And your land may be, you need understanding. Your land may be, mm-hmm. I'm not walking with God the way that I should be. Your land may be, I'm not focused on him. Because if I were to delight myself in him, he will give me the desires of my heart. And today my desire is to know more of him. My desire is to grow in him, in his wisdom, and his knowledge, and his understanding. And also, mm-hmm. I will seek him first and seek his word. Then all of these things will be added, not just materialistic things, but spiritual things as well. But yeah. many don't understand that. They think when they hear heart desires, they think of the materialistic things, money, houses, cars, better job, better pay, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they hear, if I keep my mind on him, he will keep me in perfect peace. They think that all they have to do or they should be doing all day is just walking around, God, 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 God. You can't do that, not for 24 hours, because there are things mm-hmm. you have to get done. But you allow him to lead and guide in your work. You allow him to lead and guide in the things that you have to get done. Because I believe the largest job that all true believers have is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, spread the good news of Jesus. God so right. loved the world, he sent his only begotten. This is what should be first and foremost, and God will lead and guide you in your circular job, I'm going to call it, your everyday natural work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More, you will get more done. If you're working in an industry where you're helping people, there will be people that come, and some days you won't know what to say, you know, but yeah. because you're now God, he will give right. you what to say. Now, you're not hearing a necessarily out of your voice, but it will come up in your spirit real strong. Yeah. In other words, in your mind, real strong what to say. Mm-hmm. And it will help the people or person that you're trying to help. But many times we're leaving God out and we're trying to move. That was one of the first things
yeah.
after he used me the very first time to speak to a lady in what they call today prophecy. The first mm-hmm. time he used my mouth to do that for a lady, right afterwards, the lady went on down the street praising God. I was headed on down to a store. But he began to speak in my spirit and let mm-hmm. me know, it will never be you. It will always be me. Never
right.
take my glory. Never take my mm-hmm. glory. In other words, don't think you did it. It was me. Yeah. Because
yeah.
I know what my people need. You don't know.
Right.
Just
right.
follow my lead, and I will bless the people, and I will bless you for obeying. Yeah, I had to learn
yeah.
these things.
Yeah.
But like you say,
you
sit with God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You sit with God, talk to him, and wait for
yeah.
answers. Be anxious
well,
for nothing.
Yeah. And I'm going to kind of walk backwards through what you said, because this point here is so key. And it's like even sometimes when I'm actually in the counseling office, the person will say something to me, and I know what my textbook said should be the response. I know what the world would say, but I haven't really actually heard what God wants me to say to them. And I'll get really quiet, and I forget to tell people this, and every once in a while, one of my clients will go, did I just say something wrong? Is everything okay? You know, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I just was like waiting to hear from the Holy Spirit what you need on that. And so I can either tell you what my education has taught me, or I can wait for Holy Spirit. It's really up to you, you know, and they laugh and they go, no, I'd rather you wait for the Holy Spirit. I mean, sometimes you just know immediately. It just comes immediately. But sometimes I have to just, you know, and it's a combination of, you know, God using what he's taught me on that. So you're right. It just has to come up from that. Some of it's automatic because it's in you, you know, it's just, you know, where it says have the word in you, so it's in you, and then it just comes out when you need it to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, you know, when you were talking about your job and everything, unfortunately, I hate to have to say this, but there's a lot of Christians that are the worst employees on the planet, and they're spending all their time talking about their faith but not actually showing their boss that they have integrity or showing their employee, their fellow workers. It doesn't mean we don't show who we are in Christ or we don't mention it. I mean, you can't really be around me for very long without, you know, knowing that I'm a Christian, that I live for Jesus. But, you know, that's, again, so key and so important because I meet people who are spouting a lot of Christianity, if you will, or but they're not actually doing their job. And so that really doesn't set a good testimony for who we are because we should be the best employees there. Wherever we're working, we should be better than anybody else, not basically stealing from our employers by not doing our job right. And people don't realize if you're just talking and you're not doing your job, you're stealing from your employers. You know, they're paying you to actually do something. So that made me think of that as you were talking about it. And then I kind of forgot my other point, you know, this. Sorry, I had a third one, but sorry.
No problem.
That's our aging thing for me. And thank you, Jesus. If it's important, the Holy Spirit will bring it back.
Yes, me too. I will forget. In the midst of the thought, I will forget. But I know this. I do know this. I've done the same thing. I've been talking to someone. And it's not always a counseling session or anything like that.
Yeah.
We're holding a spiritual somewhat conversation. And they will say something. And then I hear the Lord speaking and I have to shut up. And I know they're thinking, well, did she hear me? What is she doing? Yeah, I'm hearing. Because sometimes he's not speaking concerning the person that I'm speaking to. He's speaking to me about what I'm doing with them or what I'm saying to them, you see?
Right.
And so he brings me back into a place because he has tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, that's going into gossip or you gossiping now. You're not sharing me. You're sharing gossip. In other words, stop it, you know? So I have to quickly get back on the right track. Sometimes I can't tell the person that, you know, but I have to just get myself back on the right track because the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, I want them to be acceptable in his sight. He's my strength and he's my redeemer. So I have to try, you know, and be careful of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I did remember the other area, and that was when you were talking about pride. One of the things that people really think about pride is the arrogant side of it. The look at me and, you know, and I have to have this best car. I have to look better and be better than everybody else. But they miss that there's the other side of pride, which is I'm not worth anything, and they're constantly focused on how they have no value and that sort of thing. And they're like, but what do you mean? If I don't see myself as having any value, then how is that pride? And I have to point out to them, you're still focused on yourself. When you're so focused on how you're not worth anything or you're so focused on how you're better than everybody else, those are both sides of pride. Because as you were saying earlier, that's not focusing on Jesus. That's focusing on self. And so a lot of things when I work with people on pride is having to break that pride of wanting to be appreciated and recognized, blaming other people for themselves, but or just like wanting people to meet all your needs. You know, those types of things fall there in that pride. And so people get confused by, oh, no, I'm sure they're quote-unquote trying to be so humble that they're so focused on themselves and how they're acting, how they're coming across, again, to other people that they don't realize they're in a pride cycle. So I almost hate to say this because on my website store there is this little pride study, but I'm re-editing it because I realized it's actually kind of hard to do. You know, it's like a very hard Bible study and it's a little bit hard to track. But again, you know, it's a free download if people wanted to look at it, and it goes through the scriptures on that talk about what pride is, and then it goes through scriptures that talk about what humility is, and then it's like, you know, asking you the question of do you do this in your life, and how do you do this, and then how would you change that, at the end of it, you can make a list of what was pride and how would what would be a more humble way to be. And there's prayers for breaking pride in that. So if anybody wants to go ahead and look at that, actually this coming week I'm going to be at a place to work on that, to get that re-updated so that it'll be another like week or two before it's updated. But, yeah, you really need to look at what is pride, because sometimes people are saying, well, I don't know why I'm not seeing Jesus. You know, I'm not trying to be better than other people. I'm not trying to have the most money. I'm not trying to have the best car. And it's like, but you're sitting there stewing in, why isn't anybody paying attention to me? Why, you know, I serve everybody. Nobody serves me. You know, get caught in that stuff. And let me give you the website so that they can go to it. It's dunamascenter.com. That's DUNAMASCENTER.com /store. We'll put you into the store, and then you can go to the free downloads and find the Pride Study if anybody wants to do that.
Yes. So go take a look and be blessed. Go take a look and be blessed. Because mm-hmm. I know this for myself. If we could just forget about ourselves and focus more on God, I think we would be better off. I know we would, because he would lead and guide you. You wouldn't have so many mm-hmm. questions either. Because you would get some wisdom, you would get some knowledge and understanding and learn mm-hmm. the ways of God. Not all his ways, but the ways that you need to know him, God will give that to you.
Yeah.
But many times we're so focused in this life, we're not focused on that other life, because he said this too, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal. What we're doing unto him, for him, and through him, it's going to last throughout eternity. But mm-hmm. the things that we're doing in the natural, one day all of this stuff will disappear. It's what we do in the spirit realm that's going to count
mm-hmm.
the most.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like retiring. When I was young, Dr. Dillon, I didn't bit more care about a retirement than a man
right.
in the movie. They said, I thought I would be young forever. I'm going to be 20, 21 forever. So you asking me to put something up that's going to be 20 years away or 30 years away, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm good. Now that day has come.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so many people look at it like that. They're not preparing for that awful day
right.
that should be coming. And many forget
right.
that they working for now. Everything is, they're looking at everything for right now. They're not thinking about, and many will say this, well, I'm trying to please God. Well, if you want to please God, prepare.
Yeah.
For that other
yeah.
life. And that will bless
yeah.
you, because all your efforts and everything won't be put into this life. Yeah.
Right.
And we gotta get away from depending on man. Let's depend on God. I promise you, you're better off. I promise you, you'll get better results. But,
mm-hmm.
and if you can let go, pray and ask God to help you to let you go so he can be.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him to help you to let your flesh die so that his spirit can really live in
mm-hmm.
you and through you.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if not, we're going to continue to do it our way, and we won't understand, and we crying, and I need all of these people, I need all of those people, and it's ridiculous. But now he has blessed us too with those
mm-hmm.
who have his spirit that can help us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a Pauline Dillard. Her counseling can help you, because it's a
mm-hmm.
spiritual counseling. It's a counseling unto
mm-hmm.
God. She's allowing
mm-hmm.
God to lead and guide her and what God has for you through her. Because, see, God used people. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He used
mm-hmm.
people. who's your pastor. But you got to be careful giving your pastor what you should be giving to God. You got to be careful with that.
Right.
I love my pastor. I love that Bishop Carl Doles and Jackie Doles. I love those people. And there's nothing, if I could do it for them, I wouldn't do. But, and I know these people know the word of God. I know these people teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They teach the truth. But still, I have to go to God. Yeah, I have an advocate. I have a mediator that I can go to. Yeah. And he answers all I need. Give me all I need. Yeah. And so I'm blessed to know these things. It don't cut them out of anything now. Don't take away from them.
Right.
Because they have to go to him themselves to bring it to me. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I just thank God for knowing what I know and for knowing him for myself. And I'm not able to be tricked by people. Because let me tell you something, people will get sick of you and they will trick you. They will start just giving you anything. I've seen this in many places because the pastor, he done got up and preached, he done got up and teach, and here you back with the same thing. I prayed and you know, you didn't receive the prayer and receive God in it. You receive what I said, now you back to me. So many of them will just give you anything. Here, take this and get on. Don't come back no more, no time soon, and you're right back again. I know I've been in churches where the people go to the altar every Sunday and get saved. Do you hear me? How do you get saved every Sunday?
You can tell I've been there too.
Okay. Every Sunday. I've been there before. I've been there before. At the altar, when I was young and I wasn't really truly, really trying to receive God, it was a form of godliness, and I was denying the power thereof. And and after the preacher preached and had the altar call, I felt some type of way. So I run down to the altar again, not really meaning it from my heart, but to get this feeling I'm feeling up off me. But there was a day that come, hallelujah, I couldn't resist his call. That was the day that he offered me a plan I could not refuse. And what I tell you today, I'm so glad I didn't. Woo! I'm so glad I accepted that offer he made unto me. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Thank you.
And, you know, I kind of want to interject here a little bit, too, as far as, you know, when we're born again, the Bible talks about how we're babies. And so, you know, sometimes people hear, you know, me, you talk about, you know, releasing it all to God, living it out through Christ, and they can feel overwhelmed and intimidated because they're just a baby and they just have to learn how to crawl. So they're still going to make some mistakes. This isn't all just going to happen in one fell swoop. They're, you know, he grows us. The Bible talks about taking us from glory to glory. And so it's like pursuing him and like, oh, I learned this one thing. Let me really focus on getting good at knowing that piece, and then he'll show me the next thing I need to cut out of my life or the next thing I need to focus on. Because I get a lot of people who are really damaged by the performance side of this, I guess, or the it has to be immediate or for everybody. And so they start hiding, you know, they start hiding their hurt. They start hiding that they're struggling in an area to grow. They start feeling embarrassed by, you know, the people. Do they go to the altar, as you said, for prayer? And believe it or not, I've actually told clients, why don't you just stop going to the altar for prayer on it and let's just sit with the word and see what Jesus would have you do, because you've had 500 people pray over this and it hasn't helped. So obviously we need to do it different. So, but I don't want to feel like they can't be honest about the struggle, but also be honest about wanting to be healed from it. You know, that was part of that pride I was talking about, that a lot of people talk about it because they want people to feel sorry for them or whatever. A lot of people are struggling, but some people I meet, they're sincerely wanting to be healed from it, and they put themselves down. People put them down because they're struggling to get there. And sometimes they're like, why isn't God just taking it away? And I go, well, I don't really know that. I've seen it happen. But a lot of it's process. There's value in learning a process. It's like you have to crawl, and then you learn to walk, and then you learn to not cry over everything, and you know, then you know, you learn to feed yourself. And so it's a process. I don't want anyone to feel like they're less than if they're, because you're not 100%. None of us are. I look in the Bible and I see the people God could use even while they were in the middle of their mess. So I say, well, be open to however God will use you here, because what I see people do is get stuck. They get so stuck in the pain place, or they get so stuck on the fact that they're struggling, that they don't allow themselves to just be available to God. They think they have to clean themselves up.
Yeah.
Which we can't do, you know. We need Jesus to help us with it. But they think they have to be perfect before they can go do or serve the Lord. And it's like, well, if you're reading the Bible I'm reading, I don't see where that really happened anywhere with anybody except for Jesus. So, and he just took us in through the mess. If I waited to be perfect, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But it was very hard to, you know, step by step, just say, oh, I'm better at this thing. I'm better there. That one's not so bad. If I could do that thing, if I could heal that pain, if I could heal that trauma, I can face the next one. And I can just keep getting better and feeling more and more for the Lord, you know, as I'm able. Because Jesus is a gentleman, too. He's not going to just push us down and overwhelm us. He's going to say gently, I want you to be ready. I want you to come to me and be ready for that to happen. Because it's not always easy. It's not always doesn't always feel good, you know, to have him cut out a part of our pride, you know. And I don't know about you, but there were days I felt like maybe he was ripping my flesh right off my body. But I knew it was just my spiritual fleshliness, you know, if that makes sense. Like he was just ripping out the emotional fleshliness so that he could make room for more of his spirit. But it feels very painful at times. We get very attached to ourselves. We've been with ourselves our whole lives. And then learning to just walk it out the way he would have us walk it out without feeling like everybody, you know, comparison. Oh, my gosh. Do you know how much comparison I deal with? Well, you know, Sister Susie over there, she's so much better at that. Well, maybe Sister Susie's been doing it for 20 years. That's why she's better at it. Do it where you are. Don't, you know, you are you with God. This comparison is such a scheme of the devil to keep us from accomplishing for the Lord. Even in the middle of our mess, we all can do something, even in our mess. And then it gets us off ourselves and it starts moving us more towards who we are in Jesus. But I get concerned because I do get people in my office who have shut down and stopped speaking because they feel like they can never be good enough, or other people in the church are constantly judging their process. But I agree with you. I do see the people just running up for prayer on the same thing over and over and over. And it's finally like, go do something about it. Don't just, you know, go act on it. Go learn how to behave differently. I have to tell people all the time, if you want different, you're actually going to have to do different. And maybe that is just learning the word better. That's the first big difference.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is the biggest problem right here again. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. See, the problem is we don't go to God for ourselves. We constantly want other people to do it. That's why you got so many prayer groups and prayer this and prayer that, because people want somebody else to pray for them to change. But this is what the scripture says. Knock and the door will be open.
Yes.
Who wants the door open? I do. So it's good to have others knocking on the door with me, but I should have gone to that door and knocked first, because I really want it open. And the other people, they may not want it open as much as I want it open. Seek and you shall find. Who need it? Who want it? I do. So I should be seeking God first. Ask and it'll be given unto you. Who want it? I want it. I should ask first. But we feel, not we, I take that back, Lord, many people feel God don't hear their prayer like he hear mine. God don't hear, look, he's no respecter of persons.
Right.
If you pray, believe in God here, he's going to do it for you. The next thing is to have patience. Have patience. He's coming. He's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Have patience. And just know this. If he allowed his only begotten son to suffer, bleed, hang, and die for you, he hear you and he's coming. If he does not answer your prayer, you're asking for something, and it's not spiritual, it's materialistic. If he does not, that means it won't work together for your good. But I promise you, if you are praying for spiritual things, God is walking in there to answer that. Why? He's a spirit. So if you're praying for spiritual things and get out of yourself, because too many people, again, they got themselves in the way, flesh. And without God, listen, you cannot do nothing. You can't stop yourself from drinking. You can't stop yourself from drugging. You can't stop yourself from adultery. You can't stop yourself from fornicating. You cannot stop yourself from lying, stealing, cheating. You can't stop yourself from nothing. You got to go to God. People have told me, well, hey, Barbara, when I get right with God, I'm coming over there. I say, well, you'll never come. Because
right.
He's the one got to get you right. Just come on. Just come on.
Yes.
And if,
yes.
And if God, if he's not drawing you, you can't come either. Unless God draw you, you can't come. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I said, we just can't, we just cannot cut that natural flesh out of there. Woo, we can't cut it out. And like you said,
no.
I've been doing it for so long. I've been me for so long. I've been with it. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. But see, somewhere in there, we're not really believing this word of God. Yeah, we got a form of it, but we're not really putting it all that it is. You know, we believe in something there, but it's not the true whole word of God. Because if you believe in that thing, you're going to walk in it. See, I believe today and every day. Without him, I can do nothing. I had to sit to the table yesterday and tell the Lord, I let it go, God.
Yeah.
I get
yeah.
it. Because, look, I saw myself keep talking about it. My daughter called me.
Yeah.
And I'm telling her about it. And she said, well, Mama, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. He took my money, too. You know, she tried to put something in there.
Right.
Thinking it would make my flesh feel better. And, Mama, don't worry about it. God got and make my spirit feel better. But guess what? I had to take it to the Lord and leave it there. And as soon as I took that thing to God, put it on the altar and walked away and told the Lord, Lord, I give this to you. I cannot handle this. This is yours. And I went on. In a few minutes, I got results. See, and I'm not telling you what I have not experienced. I'm not telling you what the Sunday school teacher taught me, the preacher taught me. I read it in a book. I'm telling you from self-experience. When you make God the God of your life and you show God that you truly believe him, you believe his word, you trust in him, God is coming to do it. But you sitting back talking about something and it's not according to the word of God. Let me tell you this. Something came up and I took it. And a person told me, oh, that's sin. And I said, the kingdom suffers violence. And the violence taketh it by force. And this is the key. You got to have wisdom. You got to know when to take it. You can't just take now because you will be and a rock. But you got to have wisdom. Wisdom really is a principal thing. And we have to seek God daily for his wisdom. Lead and guide us. Show me when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away, and when to run.
Yeah.
Because if not, we're going to be messed up in here. And we're going to give God a portion and not the whole thing. We're going to have that form of godliness, denying the power thereof and thinking we walking upright before him.
Right.
And we stand before him that day and he got to say, depart from me. I don't know you. You're a worker of iniquity. And you like, what? Lord, but I counted them people you sent over. Lord, I was at the dining room table and I was about to finish my dinner and watch my favorite movie and they called me and I stopped to do it. Depart from me. I don't know you. But Lord, I was in revival and I cast out demons. The man died on the altar and God, I was there. I raised him back. Depart from me. I don't know you.
Yeah.
Because you had a form of godliness. You just could not.
Right.
I don't care if it's pride, and pride comes before a halted fall. Listen, I don't care what it is. You got to let it go and let God be the God of your life. If not, you'll never get all that you should have in him. Let me tell you something, and this is the honest truth. I can walk down the street and just be looking and just knowing, hey, he's right here with me. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why?
Right.
Because he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Hey, if the enemies come up, he'll prepare a table right here on the sidewalk where I'm walking before the very presence of mine enemies. But see, we don't take it wholeheartedly. Because we don't want to feel like we're crazy. And we don't want other people to think I'm crazy. If many of us want people to think we are like them. But that's not so. We are peculiar people. So number one, we have a royal priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be of this priesthood, this royal. You know what that means? This royal priesthood unless you got Jesus.
Right.
And if you're a peculiar person, you become different. You're somewhat strange. You're not like everybody else. You don't want the same things everybody else. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. See, it's like this. I don't club no more. I don't drink no more. That's not what makes me good in God's eyesight now. I don't lie.
Yeah.
I don't cheat. I don't steal. That's not what makes me right with God. What makes me right is he live in me. And what he does not desire, I don't desire it either. Some people think, oh, well, I don't smoke. Oh, well, I don't cuss. Well, I don't drink. That don't make you nothing. That don't make you nothing. It's allowing him. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I just usually tell them, well, that makes you a good person, but good has too many O's in it.
Ooh, you're going to say, Cornelius. Go ahead.
Because you can't buy your way into heaven. You may do things because, you know, Barbara, it's sort of like I have people tell me that, well, I'm a good person. And I go, okay, so you do all this good stuff and then you do a bad thing. So how many of your good things did the bad thing wipe out? And how many more good things do you need to do to make up for the bad thing? You can never balance that scale. Only Jesus can. That's why we have to stand before God with Jesus, because those things don't mean anything at that point. You can never out-good your bad. I mean, we can only out-God our bad. That's the only thing we have. So I was thinking of that. And then, you know, when you were talking about the belief, I sometimes, you know, like you were saying, there's places where when you're worrying, I realize, no, I'm not believing God in this area. That's not a salvation issue. That's just a me getting through life easier issue, or, you know, trusting God better. And I'm reminded of the man in the Bible who said to Jesus, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. And I do literally find myself saying that to him sometimes, where I'm thinking he's telling me something's going to happen or I'm going to see something and then I'm doubting it. And so then I go, okay, God, I believe, because that is my foundation, is my belief in Christ, but help me with my unbelief, which is help me to just see you in this and to trust it and believe that you've got it, because I don't always do that. I mean, we're all human beings and we have moments.
That bring me to this. somewhere in there, we're still holding on to something. We're still holding on to something. And
yes.
we're thinking mm-hmm. on it. We're overthinking
mm-hmm.
it. Listen.
Yeah.
Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Walk away. Somebody said, that's easier for you. You've been doing it for years. Listen. It's going to have to start somewhere. Today should be that day when you start praying and walking
yeah.
away. Because if yeah. you gave it to God, why you still? Because see, worrying is a sin. Doubting God is a sin, and we say he's
yeah.
living in us. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But he understands. He understands. And if we're doubting, like you said, Lord, help my unbelief today. Lord, don't let me doubt. I
right.
Some days I think I'm a nut. I'm telling you, some
yeah.
days I think I'm a nut now because I take his word literally. I take him
yeah.
literally.
Yeah.
He's alive. He's not a dead God. His words are not just black and white words on some white paper. And Jesus said in red. No, they
mm-hmm.
are living words.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it for real. And he moves. I'm telling you. And he don't
yeah.
always move in the
yeah.
way I want him to move. But he moved to show me, I heard you. I'm answering you. I need you to have patience for me to finish this up. Yesterday
right.
when I said, Lord, I let this go. I'm giving this to you. He moved quick. Bam. But guess what? I got to wait for Tuesday for the rest of it to be released
yes.
back into my account. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
Right.
I need
I
you
do.
To wait. I'm doing something here. I need right. you to trust me with your whole heart, all your heart. That's a big, big word. I don't need you
yeah.
leaning to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. I am
mm-hmm.
going to direct your path. You got to believe me. Let
right.
it go.
Right.
Because
well,
we don't hear out of your voice. But yesterday, all of a sudden, and I know it was the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me.
Uh-huh.
It just come to me. Let it go. You got to let it
right.
go. I didn't
right.
even pray,
then,
Lord. Yeah, Lord, let them go ahead and send me the refund. Give me my money back. Curse them if they don't. I said, Lord, I give
hands.
It to you. I let
yeah.
it go. And once I
yeah.
did that, that's what he wanted. Come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden. I will give
mm-hmm.
you rest. But do we take this literally? Because see, what people call me charismatic. They'll call me a
yeah.
Bible beater off the
yeah.
chain. I promise you this, I'm not living in doubt. I promise
yeah.
you this, I'm not living in fear. I
yeah.
promise you this, he will prepare a table before me in the presence of mine.
Yeah.
I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving right now. Why?
Yeah.
I
right.
trust
right.
him. I believe in him. He's real. He's no joke. He's alive
no.
and well. He's Almighty God that have all power. We can make any
right.
excuse. We can be prideful. We can be crazy. We can be anything we want. But unless we come to God in the fullness, depart from me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You made excuses when I said, come
mm-hmm.
unto me. I said,
yeah.
humble yourself and pray. I said, seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Not only will I forgive your sins, but I will heal your land, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is today. Yeah, we got to get that. Let go. What you holding on to? Are you scared you're going to lose something with God?
Yeah, yeah.
I
want to encourage people, though, because you had said in there that people will say to you, well, it's easy for you because you've been doing it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is, yes, you're correct. But we've been doing it. And, you know, the Bible says physical exercise is good, but your spiritual exercise is better. And so we have to actually exercise our spirit. And so I do tell people that, you know, it's like going to the spiritual gym. So if you can for 5 minutes just say, I'm just going to sit here and completely trust the Lord, and I'm just going to release all my doubt, and then the doubt comes back in, remind yourself, oh, my God, I did it for 5 minutes. Now I'm going to do it for 10 and 20. Because if I wanted to be a bodybuilder, I'm not going to walk in the gym and lift a 50-pound weight, you know, and do curls. I'm going to start small, and then I'm going to build up. And Jesus
okay, let me say this, Dr. Dillon. If you start in the gym with them curls and things, the
yeah.
devil is not going to come and defeat you that quick. See, you can
right, because you're there
minutes.
Doing it.
Yeah,
yeah,
but you can do it. You can do it for 5 minutes, but on that 6 minute, the devil done come in and destroyed you. What you got to do is let go. Let it go. God is not going nowhere. He's Almighty
right.
God that have all power. You got to convince
right.
yourself of this. You got to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real. He so loved you. He sent his only begotten son. So do you think
right,
he's going to let a bill take you under? He's going to let a car payment take you under? He's going to let a divorce
right.
destroy you? No,
yeah.
no, no. All things, it will work together for your good. If you love him and you're saved, because he called you. Everybody
you
got to
do it.
Yeah, you just got to
do it. That's,
and not make
yeah,
excuses.
And that's the same thing as what you were talking about where people go up for prayer time after time after time after time for the same thing. Now, while they're not connecting to God on it, I also somewhat put the burden on the prayer people because we do an awful lot of praying for people but not praying with them and guiding and directing them to their own connection with Jesus because
okay.
then they become dependent on us. And
okay.
It's a little hard to go into here, but, you know, standing up in the front of the church and came up to ask me to pray for them in the office all the time. I actually asked them about what are they needing prayer for, and then I start into talking to Jesus directly about it themselves. You know, like, here's the problem, Lord. Then ask him a question about what you're supposed to do about it. But you know what you said, that people ask for stuff. Even when they're asking for spiritual answers, they don't stop and listen. They're so busy talking that I always have to tell him, well, you just asked him a question. Why don't you just stop talking and see what he has to say about it?
Mm-hmm.
And to really trust their connecting with him. And, you know, it's like I will say something and get them to repeat it because it gets them to start talking to God until they're really in there connected with Jesus. And then I just wait for whatever Jesus is leading for them. And I've had so many people say to me, I have never, ever prayed like that because – we need to help direct them to that connection, not just be like we're some big magical prayer person who has some big magical line to Jesus. So if they come to us and we pray, somehow it's going to be more magical. And it's not, because it leaves them with no source other than the prayer person. And the source needs to be that connection to Jesus that they can take with them. But now they know. I don't know if you get asked this a lot, but I get asked a lot. How do you know it's God talking to you? How do you know it's his voice? Well, you know, several things really helped me. One was when God said, what father, if his son asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion? How much more so your heavenly father when you ask him for the Holy Spirit? So when I was first, you know, in my doubt and trying to learn and trust the voice, I just would say, I'm holding you to your word, God. I know the word there says that you will send me the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to trust that that's exactly what you're going to do. And when I ask you about this situation, I'm going to just go with what comes to me because I just asked for the Holy Spirit. And two things. One is, if I'm wrong, God will steer me in the right direction. And not only that, he's bigger than any mistake we can make. Sometimes we just have to get out there and make a mistake, and then he brings a correction. And that's how we learn how to press into his heart. That's how we learn to know how he speaks and talks to us. That's how, because he does it with, you know, he'll talk to you. I get a lot of people who are like, well, I pray and I don't hear anything. I'm like, okay, well, maybe if you stop talking and listen, number one.
Okay.
Then, number two is trust that if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, that's what you're getting. And number three, trust him that he's bigger than you. So if you make a mistake, he's going to help you.
Yeah,
correct
and make,
it.
And make him the God of your life, because my sheep know my voice, and a stranger
right.
they will not follow. See, let me tell you, too many people, even coming to me, they want me to put these cotton balls all around and this fluffy pillow so they can fall on me. I'm giving it to you the way he gave it to me. He didn't put no cotton balls down. He didn't put no fluffy mattress or pillow. If I fell, I had to fall, and if it hurt, it hurt. He healed it. But this is the thing. I had to go to him and learn of him for myself. Come unto me, not the preacher, not the prayer counselor. Come mm-hmm. unto me, all that are burdened mm-hmm. and heavy laden. I
right.
will give rest. And see, too many excuses, too many cotton balls, too many fluffy pillows. You got to let go and go to God. Come on with the
right.
humbleness. Because, see, mm-hmm. and as long as I do it for you, you come into me. I had
right.
a friend tell me the other day, she said, listen, I was tickled, but I couldn't let her know I laughed. She said, listen, now, if God give you a word for me, that's on God. I was so tickled.
Correct.
She said, because I'm not going not nowhere else looking for nothing as far as a word from him. He done
yeah.
spoke.
Yeah.
I'm going on
yeah.
what he spoke. And I'm good.
Right.
Now, if you give me a word, that's on God. I was so tickled. I said, oh,
yep.
this girl learned the life. Because she
mm-hmm.
leaning and depending on Jesus. She
right.
told me, she said, God told me to be quiet. He told me don't say nothing, don't do nothing. Just stand
right.
still. But see, he was going to show her he was God. And when she
right.
stood still, no talking, no nothing. She saw he was God for herself. Beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful thing. And
yeah.
and
yeah.
now he's teaching her more. I remember telling her about her ministry. She said, yeah, well, this and that and that. The other day I heard her say, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I was so tickled. I had to hold
yes.
myself together because I told her I knew you was ready because I know she
right.
had been ready. It's just a
right.
matter of her stepping out on faith. And when I gave her some parables of how he moved in her ministry, she
mm-hmm.
said, well, that has already happened to me.
I know.
Yeah, but I couldn't let her know. Because see what she
I know. And you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard God say that to me. Just be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people first come to me, there's a couple of things. One is people often don't really care what I know till they know that I care. So I have had to work with the scripture that says mourn with those who mourn. So I have to I have to honor the story. The story has to be heard. The story has to come out. And you know, we all have a heart. It doesn't matter what our trauma was. It doesn't matter where we come from. We all have hearts. They all need to be cared for, which is really what Jesus did. And then once they know that everything, and this is very quick, the methods I use come in very quick for this. They know that I care. Then I want them to know that I am really okay with where they are when they walk through my door. I am 100% okay with where you are right this minute. What I am not okay with is leaving them there. And so the goal then is always walking them towards how they're going to be healed in Jesus and then be able to take their own relationship from him.
Guess what I would see in that?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't see God in that. I would see you leading in that. Because
mm-hmm.
I got to cut me completely out of that. And when I come to the
mm-hmm.
people, when they call me, I do it in love. I have to do
yes.
it in love, for God is love.
Right.
But this is what I do for them. I tell them the truth.
Right.
Honey, you got to drop that. You got to give that up. You got to take that to God in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't. If you keep holding on to it, that's all it's going to do, get bigger. He said no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Right.
And the
right.
only way this won't grow no bigger. You got to
mm-hmm.
give that back to God and let God handle
mm-hmm.
it. Because we
right.
trying to sit for them to fall again on them cotton balls and on them fluffy pillows. And
correct.
Listen, in that great and notable day, God is not going to put no cotton balls down and no fluffy pillow. He's just going to simply tell you and mean it, depart from
mm-hmm.
me. I don't know
right.
you. And so what we got to do is I know we trying to make them comfortable and we trying to make them understand, but he said in his word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give liberally and upbraideth
right.
not. And if you believe this, you're going to have this. See, but they always want people to
right.
come in there and do it for them. Now, the majority of the people that call me, they calling me for guidance, let's say, through a prayer that they already
mm-hmm.
prayed, that they already believe in. They want to hear, is there any more? Is God desiring right. any more of them? Because they come to Jesus in the morning and they've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
I got folks with all kind of housing situations, all kind of situations. And guess what?
Right.
It's staring them in their face. But guess what? They walking on by faith and not by sight. It's not right. a cop-out. It's not a quick way out. It's according to the word of God. But see, I understand you, Dr. Dillard. Because, see, you are a doctor, believe it or not. Believe it
yeah.
or not. You
yeah.
are a doctor. And you have to give these people what a doctor give them. Not that you don't know God, and not that you don't trust Him, and not that you don't believe and understand. But you have to give these people the doctor's prescription, the way they expect for a doctor to act. See, you can't tell them what
I'm just going to tell you, most of the people who know me know I don't act that way. When I get referrals, I'll say, oh, so what did they tell you about the counseling? Because I do it as an intensive, because I don't believe in long-term counseling. We got to get on with what Jesus has asked us to do. Let's get it healed and get on. But they'll go, well, they said to be ready because you're really blunt and you're just going to tell it like you see it.
Okay.
And I said, exactly. But I'm going to start with the, I have to hear the story. I need to care about the story. And now I'm going to start telling you what to do and how
mm-hmm.
the Lord wants to heal it. But no, I mean, there's very few people that I've had long term and I've had to kind of walk them through it just because of how damaged they are. But in general, I do a marriage intensive. They come to me for 5 days, 3 hours a day. I give them the tools. I teach them how to use the tools to connect with each other and with Jesus and how to walk it out in the Lord, and then I don't go home with them. So
okay.
I'm just going to call them out. I mean, one of my clients, I'm like, you are just back in your pride. I cannot even believe how far into your pride you are. She just cried and was like, you're right, and, you know. So eventually I am going to get to that, but eventually for me is within 5 days. You know, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes.
So, yeah. So, you know, yes, I am a doctor, and I'm going to bring that. And very rarely, but occasionally, God will tell me you have to slow down. Because you
okay.
can probably tell, like you, I can get going. I'm going to say it. I'm, you know, charismatic in it. I'm pretty outspoken. I can be loud. I can talk for a very long time. And,
uh-huh.
you know, the Lord will tell me. Slow your roll, basically.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
oh, and
yes.
like, this person cannot hear you because
yes.
it's too much too fast,
yes.
and we need to back it up to where they can hear you and then slowly start to bring all that back in. So
yes, ma'am.
That's that individuality of working
mm-hmm.
with them according to, like you say, listening to what God is telling you for that person and,
mm-hmm.
and going from there.
Yes.
I am going to have to wrap up. I went a little bit,
okay.
I had a little bit
all
more
right.
time today than normal, but I love this. Thank you for having me on. I really love just talking about this stuff, and people are welcome to, you know, download that stuff from the website at thunamacenter.com. and, you know, I just know you're going to have a good time with people for the next hour. Are you okay?
Yeah, but oh, I was talking about water.
Yeah, I know. I hate that. But yeah, just you know, I love just the passion of sharing God and working it out. You know, for people to have their own walk with Jesus, not to be dependent on another person.
Amen.
So, are you able to talk?
Yeah, I think I'm able to talk. And what I plan on doing, I'm going to get with you sometime, hopefully this month coming, June, and maybe come up and have a session or something and see how to learn.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand all of what you said.
Okay, I was saying in the month of June, I'm going to try
uh-huh.
to look at the calendar
ah.
and see if the Lord would permit me to come up and have a session. A single person. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I do those as an intensive as well for a few days. But
okay.
yeah, it's yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be gone. I'm leaving today for vacation, and then I'm going to be back until the end of the summer. So, yeah, You would be, okay. be very welcome. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. We'll get it together. And I appreciate the stuff that you post over on LinkedIn. And I like a lot of...
Thank you.
Yeah, I like those prayers, too. I really like those prayers.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing. People can follow me on LinkedIn. I don't do Facebook or anything else. It's just, that's just too gnarly for me. But I am on LinkedIn.
Okay.
All righty. Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
All right. God bless you, Dr. Dillon. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
All right.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Dorothy Goodman, where are you? Did you go away, Dorothy Goodman? I saw her. The light come on in the studio by Dot name, and I was wondering if Dot had something this morning she wanted to say. So listen, we're moving right along this morning. I'm going to one more song. Okay, that may have been Sister Spinner. Good morning, Sister Spinner. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm blessed. I can't complain.
I was just listening to Dr. Diller. I got a little tickled this morning listening to you, too. But she said something that really I admire her as far as her having to be blunt. Because since, you already know, you know, God is calling me to a marriage ministry, which is going to be a lot of counseling involved. And I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking, you know, I'm going to have to, like, really, just from what I've been going through, I have to really get it into people's heads that they have to do some work. You know, mm-hmm. you can't just come and I give you a word and I, you know, talk to you, and then you just leave and expect everything to get better, or we pray and expect everything to get better. There's going to be some work on their end that they're going to have to do, some self-evaluation, some praying, some spending time with God, some listening to God, some worshiping, some getting on your face and maybe just crying out to God, you know. And if people aren't willing to do that, then, and you know, and then they come back and they say, well, you know, nothing's changed. Well, have you done this? You know, have you done that? Are you looking at your pride? You know, I can just imagine all of the responses that I'm going to be getting, because I've probably given a lot of those responses. Like, you know, well, you know, am I supposed to just let them do this to me? You know, okay, now you have to work on your pride. You know, I was just listening to her, and I can just imagine that I'll probably be dealing with a lot of what she's dealing with, and you can't sugarcoat anything.
That's true.
You know, you won't be helping the person if you try to sugarcoat it. You have to be blunt and you know, just get right to the point of what needs to be done. And
yes.
it was just nice to hear somebody that's already doing what I believe God is going to have me doing.
Yes, yes. And that's it right there. That is it right there. Yeah. Because you're going to have to sit down with them and talk with them and point them in the direction of God and that word. And just like you said, there will even be times when you have homework for them to do. And they will have to come back with that homework. And according to their answers, you'll know whether or not they've been in prayer, whether or not they've been in the word, whether or not they have applied what God gave you to give to them. Yes. It's a lot involved.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Pauline Diller. Because believe it or not, she off the chain, y'all. That Pauline Diller is off the chain. And some days I look over there and I say, what? No, she didn't put this up here. The PH dot period D period. Yeah, she a real doctor. But that's about that word and that prayer. Oh, it's so funny. But I thank God for people like her. And see, if she was solely into that PhD and I'm a doctor and this and that, she wouldn't come to Jesus in them. She wouldn't want to hear anything I had to say. But I have posted on LinkedIn and she'll come back and say, oh, that's why that was going like that. Oh, now I know. Oh, I'd be so tickled. Yeah. And she don't care who she is. No shame in her game. Yeah. And so I love these kind of people. I mean, they went to school for some years, and they truly got book-wise education. See, in my world, you have to have book sense, common sense, and spiritual sense. And that's when I consider educated, because you going to know God. Yeah. More than you know anything else. But I thank God for you this morning, Sister Spinner. And I thank God for what he's doing in you. Yeah, and through you. It's not over yet. He's not done. He's yet got more he's going to show you and more he's going to do through you. Yeah, because you're going to be a great worker unto him. A lot of marriages will be restored. Some marriage won't get broke up. You know, they won't divorce. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, see, what you're going to share is from experience and the love that's in your heart. And then there will be a lot of compassion there. Yeah. See, God give you more. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, he'll give you who he made you. He will give you that. And many times we have testimonies of what we've gone through because of the work we have to do unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there. Yeah, I've been through the storm and lots of rain, but today I can say I made it. And then I don't have to tell you from a book other than the Bible. I don't have to tell you from what some preacher taught me. I can tell you from my experience and what God has done for me. Oh, and that make all the difference in the world. Because I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. See, you'll know what you're talking about. Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. I figure when they see what I went through and what I, you know, what we came from and how God healed, you know, I would need a PhD. That's my PhD right there.
You better know it.
You know.
You better know it. Oh, I can hear the songwriter said, I've had some good days. Ooh, but I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. Yeah, I can hear that. Because this thing is not always easy, the things we go through. Those that are waiting on God for finances, those that are waiting on God to pay what we call big bills. That thing is not always easy, but we got to wait on him. Nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to get sick over it. We just got to simply wait on God and begin to occupy until he comes. Share the good news of him somewhere else. And when we look back, he already taken care of what we needed him to take care of. He has done that for me over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Yesterday, my mind was on something else. And the Spirit of the Lord brought that to me to let it go. Yeah. My mind was on Jerry, out with the grandkids, pray for her. Yeah. It's hot out there, yeah, and they may want to stay longer than she want to stay, you know what I'm saying? So prayer went forth for some people. Sister Rita, prayer going forth for her. Brother Louis, Sherry coming home. He had to go get a wheelchair and get a chair that helped Sherry to lift up and stuff like that. So, you know, prayer going forth for these things and other things. There's some more on the roll call list that I haven't heard from. Prayer go forth for them. My goddaughter, Laura, I got a chance to talk to her a little bit yesterday over on Instagram, prayer going forth, you see? And so we can't always focus on the things that we're going through because so much other work needs to be done. But the Spirit of the Lord will bring it back and tell you what to do about it. So he told me to let it go. So I went to him for him to help me to let it go. And I'm telling you, I let it go right then. I gave it up. In a few minutes, I saw it come through. Look at here. Look at here. I know what prayer do. I know what it would do if we'll just let go. Pray and let it go. Don't pray holding on to it because you still got it. You can't get it. If you got it, you got to give it to him and walk away. As you're walking away, he begin to fix it. Soon as God reached down to take it to fix it, you snatch it right back out of his hand. He can't do nothing with that. Yeah, there's nothing he can do with it. Mm-hmm. I thank him this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Anything else you want to say, Sister Stemmer? I'm all ears.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Amen. Amen. It's just good to know the people of God. I'm like Dr. Dillard. She says she like hanging out with them guys that know God, you know. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I remember in starting a journey, Sister Spinner had told me what God told her. I would tell her, she said, no. He said, stand still. He told me don't say nothing and don't do nothing. I said to myself, you got to mess her thing up. She got a tight rein on that part, didn't I? You can come with anything else. But touching that, which he said to her, no, ma'am, you won't touch that. She's not willing to let you touch it. Yeah. You can have one of these chicken wings I buy if you was here, but you can't touch that, God said. I'm not going for it. Yeah. I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Yeah. And see, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to serve those who don't understand. But when you working with someone that does understand or beginning to understand, oh boy, make your day, because you feel like, oh, they coming on to God in the fullness. Ooh, they coming on. They going to be all right. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so many days when we see those who don't understand, we just have to pray and keep going. They belong to God. We keep giving them back to God and asking God, Lord, reveal unto them. Mm-hmm. And Lord, do it in a way that they understand you. And what you speak out of my mouth, they pick it up and give you credit for it, not me. Hallelujah. And everything is going to be all right. Boy, I feel good today. I feel all right now. Hallelujah. God is faithful over and over again. And I'm grateful unto him and thankful this morning. It's Friday too, y'all. It's Friday. I got 2 days. I'm thinking about running to Orlando the weekend, because this Memorial weekend, I think. And as I ride by the Veterans Cemetery, you know, I want to remember those soldiers that died to protect us. But I wanted to go down there, maybe get in a park out in Kissimmee and grill me something and, drink fresh lemonade or something. I can't have sugar in it, but, you know, I put me something in there to make it taste some kind of way and go and sit out there in the heat and drink me something cold. I thought about going to the beach. I thought about going fishing, but if I go fishing, I need somebody who understand hook baiting and all that kind of thing, tackle and to go with me. My son, he's busy right now, making all the overtime he can make. So usually he would take me fishing and take me to this place, and I put my chair in the white sand and I sat there and the water rolled on my feet and everything, and I just sit there and pray with my pole and my rod and reel, I think they call it, in the water. So I was thinking of them things, but if the Lord continue to give me this energy, I'm going to roll on down to Kissimmee area, yeah, down in Orlando area. Hallelujah. While I'm down there, I get to see my crew. While I'm down there. So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy today. He's able to see us through. Hallelujah. Anything, he's able, hallelujah, to see us through today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I have one more request this morning, and we're going in and listen to this one. And thank God I keep it in the song vault, because I know every now and then I'm going to have to play it. And so I thank God I didn't take it out of the song vault. And if there's anyone have something you would like to say this morning, feel free to press that number one and come in today. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one. I'm gonna mute your mic.
From Memphis, Tennessee. Little small house, big family. 7 kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord. Cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud. And I'm gonna take it. Ooh. I told y'all I'm gonna make it. And when I make it, I'ma bring the whole world with me.
About those people that live in her community that she knows standing in need of things. It may have been food, a better place to live. They may need a few dollars, an electric bill paid or whatever. Because God bless her, she's willing to bless her community. And I believe God will continue to bless Evie because of her mentality. She says she prayed for this and now the thing's knocking on her door that she prayed about. God heard a prayer. Hallelujah. And so we thank him this morning. He hears and answers. Oh, yeah, he's a great God. All right, Jerry, coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am very well. And how are you?
I'm blessed. I can't complain.
Me neither. I can't complain. I just want to thank God for the money being returned back on Cash App. I want to thank God for his will being done, even when we go through a trial. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All things work together for those that love the Lord. I want to thank you for the guest speaker this morning. She was excellent, just excellent. I just thank you so much for all that I'm learning on this radio show. It is a blessing. The key thing I've learned today is be still.
Man.
Be still. You can't rush God. Be still. God works it out in his timing. Be still. Because one day you may want to wear an overcoat because it was snowing, but the next day you may have to pull an overcoat off and put on a t-shirt because it's 90 degrees. So be still, because no one knows what tomorrow holds. Lord, help me to be still. Help me when I open my eyes to know that you know the plan. You know the plan for the day, tomorrow, and the next day. Help me to become more like the birds. Just tweet, 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 tweet. I don't hear them out there going, what am I going to do? I don't see anything to eat out here. Where am I going to get a bath? Help me be more like you desire me to be, Lord God. Help me to be still and wait on your plans for my life.
Man.
For I know not what I'm doing. You knew I didn't know what I was doing when you were hanging on the cross. Thank you for asking your Father to have mercy on us. I don't think I could have been Jesus hanging on the cross and asking my Father to forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Not in the state that I used to be in. But now I look at things and say, oh, Lord, forgive them. I don't know what they're doing. They're not stealing from me. They're stealing from you. But they're not tearing up my things. They're tearing up your things. I have learned now to turn everything over to God. Does work together for my good. Lord, I thank you. That's all I call to say today. Thank you, God. Because you've been good to me.
Hallelujah.
God's been good to me. Just to be breathing, that's a blessing. To bat your eyes, to open your eyes is a blessing. As he say, let those have hearing. Listen, if he's talking and you acting, you can't hear nothing he's saying. Help me to be still. That's my prayer. Be still. If I rush, haste make waste.
Who's solar plus battery?
Mm-hmm.
God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to this one this morning. This is the last request of the morning, and I don't see another one, so I'm going with this one this morning. But before we play our request, let me go right here and say good morning to everybody this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. I thought you had pressed that number one at one point, Sister Dot. And Sister Mary Ann, Sister Rose Brown, Sister Simone, Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela, Sister Laura, Sister Alexis, Minister Jacqueline, Sister Bernello, Sister Lachelle, Sister Andrea Spinner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, Sister Jerry again, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne and Apostle Boatwright. Good morning, good morning. God bless you this morning. Brother Louis had to run out. He's going to pick up the special chair for Sherry and the wheelchair and things. But good morning to you, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Dan, Mike Hopps, Pastor Herring, Pastor James Brown, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, and Brother Coleman, and Brother Frank. Good morning to you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God for each of you. Thank God for each of you. Listen, I'm going to ask y'all to keep Sherry in prayer, keep Sister Rita in prayer. And I was trying to think that I get any more requests. I think those are the two requests that I got that I know of, Sherry and Sister Rita. Keep them lifted up in prayer. And because I'm praying and hoping that Sister Rita will be able to live in Tampa and won't have to go anywhere, won't have to go through no drama, no trauma, but that God would bless her. And so we thank God he's able. Thank God that he's able. All right, I'm going to this last request of the morning. And when we come back, if no one have anything they would like to say, we'll get out early. I will pray us out for the weekend, and we pray that the Lord bring us back on Monday morning for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one.
Come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's Apostle James. I like this preacher a lot. James Pinkney and the Voices of Faith out of Charleston, South Carolina. Oh, yeah, I like that one myself. I like that one myself. I heard it good and clear. Hallelujah. Keep your sword in your hand and you fight on. Oh, yeah, Apostle Boatwright. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it. God bless you. God bless you this morning. And if no one else have anything they would like to say, we have time. We have plenty of time. If you have something you would like to say this morning, feel free to press that number one and come in today. Hallelujah. We thank God for his word. Yes, the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Forever, oh God, that word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. We thank him this morning. So listen, we're going to pray. And again, we pray he bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. It holds true for us. And Lord, if we'll stop making excuses and stop holding on and open our spiritual ears so we can hear what you have to say to us. God, you will speak your truth to us. You will give us instruction, Father. And if we humble ourselves and pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Father, we ask that you would help us with all of this today because we need you and we need to do it your way, the way that you say to do it, not our way and what we think. But God, we need clarity and understanding and wisdom today. Wisdom is a principal thing according to your word. Do it for us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for we are preparing for your return. And Lord, we want to get it right, right here in the dressing room. Hallelujah, before you return. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And this morning, Father, before we depart, I ask that you would bless your people. Bless them this weekend like no other weekend. Father, move by your spirit for these your people, those that stand in the need of finances, Lord, those that stand in the need of housing or whatever the case may be today. Lord, you know what's best for them. The earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Give us all favor this weekend, oh God. Give us the favor of heaven upon us, Lord. That God, wherever we go, it will work in our favor in the name of Jesus. Bless your people this weekend, oh God, in the name of Jesus. As we depart, bless our going out and our coming in. Continue to meet the need, oh God, in our lives according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We ask it all today in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed weekend. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend, starting May the 28th, 2021, in Jesus' name. And we want to remember to let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, to be acceptable in his sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Hallelujah. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed weekend.
Oh,
Hello?